sir.
Many times I have wondered about the sights of that city and all that my eyes shall behold. I will see all the wonders when I enter that city, there forever to be safe in his home.
Thought, what a blessed hope this morning, isn't it? Some morning you'll find me touring that city. Praise the Lord. I think we don't ever know what we're going to do when we get there. I think about a lot of stuff. And I'll say, no, I don't want to see those walls of jasper. I'm not that concerned about the river of life or the tree of life. This point me toward Jesus. That's where I believe I want to go first. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Grandparents' Day, and we want to recognize some grandparents. Do we have any grandparents older than 90? I know we got Miss Pansy, 94. We have a grandparent older than 94. Miss Pansy, raise your hand. Let us see you. I won't make you stand up. You know. Miss Pansy, praise the Lord. I just want to mention to her, you know, it's good to give flowers while they're alive, and she's faithful. I want to say she is a picture of faithfulness, Miss Pansy is, and what a loves the Lord and praise. And I know Gary said he's convinced that there's some snowstorms that got prayed away from here because she wanted to come to church on Sunday morning. And I appreciate you, Miss Pansy. You probably can't hear me, but I want everyone know how much we appreciate you. We want to recognize any our youngest grandparent. Do we have any grandparent younger than 40? Any grandparent younger than 40? Any younger than 45? Any younger than 50? Grandparents younger than 50. All right. What about Calvin? Amen. Brother Calvin. All right. The grandparent with the most children present today. Do we have any more with any with five or more present? I think that's why I thought we had five there. Amen. Any more with five or more? I thought Gary had an extra spring in his step this morning, but Gary and Mary Lynn, let's. Want to recognize all of our grandparents today, all of our special grandparents. Well, all of our grandparents stand today. If you're a grandparent and you're able to, will you stand? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Without grandparents, there wouldn't be parents, would they? Amen. So we appreciate our grandparents today, and you, what a vital role that the grandparents play in the life of folks, and we appreciate you so much, and want to share a message with you this morning about grandparents, and I have a few quotes. Grandmas are moms with lots of frosting, an author unknown. Grandfathers are just antique little boys. Boy, that's a true one, isn't it? Amen. Never have children, only grandchildren. When grandparents enter the door, discipline flies out the window. Amen. Grandmas never run out of hugs or cookies. Amen, that's a good one. If I had known how wonderful it would have been to have grandchildren, I'd have had them first. My grandkids, I thought of Joanne at this one. My grandkids believe I am the oldest thing in the world. And after 2 or 3 years with them, I believe it. Amen. An hour with your grandchildren can make you feel young again. Anything longer than that, you start to age quickly. Grandmother, a wonderful mother with lots of practice. Grandparents are similar to a piece of string, handy to have around and easily wrapped around the fingers of their grandchildren. No cowboy was ever faster to the draw than a grandparent pulling out a baby picture of their grandchildren in the wallet. Amen. Amen. I see that one very true. If you would turn with me the book of Psalm chapter 28 this morning. If you would, stand with me this morning. Psalm 78, we'll start at verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let us pray. Father, thank You again for this day. We thank You for Your blessings, Your goodness. We thank You for grandparents. Lord, I'm so thankful for the godly grandparents that we have, and Father, the impact that they can and do have on their families and their grandchildren. And Lord, we're just so thankful for godly folks and godly grandparents and godly parents that'll bring their children into the house of the Lord, and they could be taught the right way to live and go, and taught about Jesus, the one that is the Savior of our souls. And Lord, we just ask You now this morning that You would just settle down upon us. I pray for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, that You would just move and minister as You see fit, and encourage us today to be about Your business. Encourage us, Lord, to teach the next generation. God, encourage us that we would be everything that You would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, today's culture is youth-oriented, and youth, everything's geared for the youth. And have everything in the world geared toward them, but the over age of 85 is growing fast. And this will double by 2030. This was article was written a little bit ago, a few years ago, but by 2030, that over the age of 85 is going to double. And in 25 years, 65 and over is expected to double. And thinking of this age, and of course the life expectancy is growing, getting higher and higher, and with medicine and there's so many different things. But if you ever thought being a grandparent wasn't important, let me read you a few statistics here. 6.1 million is the number of grandparents whose grandchildren younger than 18 live with them. 2.5 million, the number of grandparents responsible for most basic needs, such as food, shelter, and clothing, of one or more of the grandchildren who live with them. These grandparents represent 40% of all grandparents whose grandchildren live with them.
1.6 million are grandmothers and 896,000 are grandfathers. 918,000 number of grandparents responsible for caring for their grandchildren for at least the past 5 years. 5.7 million, the number of children living with a grandparent. These children comprise 8% of all children of the United States. And most of those, the majority of those 3.7 live in grandparents' homes. So we see today that more and more grandparents is taking on a more vital role and becoming more of a parent than a grandparent. So we see the importance of grandparents today, and want to share with you a message for Grandparents Day. In verse 4 and verse 3 and 4 here in this passage, the Bible says, of course, let me go back just a minute to verse 2. You'll hear me read this tonight or next week or sometime. I'm starting a new series on parables. And this is one of the verses that I use. The Bible's talking here. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old. And So I just put in a little plug. Maybe tonight, I don't know, or it may be next week. I want to start this new series on parables. But here I want to talk on how important these parables and the sayings of old is. And verse 3 says, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. First thing that I see in this passage is the conviction to pass it forward. It's important that we pass on what we have known and what we have been taught and what we have read and what we have experienced in our lives, the importance of passing that on. The first thing that I see the importance of passing on is God's Word. Passing on biblical illustrations to the children. This passage says, what we have heard, we will not hide. You know, it's good to hear something, but it's what do we do with what we've heard? Most of us has been taught and brought up young in a church, and we cut our teeth on the pews, and we was taught the Word of God, that we knowed what God's Word says, and there's a generation coming that's not been taught that. There's folks that has not been in the church like you are and like you was when you growed up. A lot of the problem is we're now experiencing a generation that knows not God. And if you look and you turn on the news, you can experience it pretty quick. God's wanted left out of everything. Jesus' name, God, you can talk about God, but Jesus, you'll get in trouble. And sometimes, is this something that bothers me? And Rhonda and I wasn't going to mention it, but Rhonda and I went to watch that nail-biter game down at Tennessee yesterday. And a minister said a prayer before the game. And boy, that pleased me, and I was glad. But now I've got a pet peeve, and Rhonda's smiling. I did not say nothing about this. But when he closed, he did not close in Jesus' name. To me, you might as well not pray. Amen. I mean, it sounded good, everything was good, but Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. And when we leave the name of Jesus out of anything, we're messing up. Our children and grandchildren need to hear Jesus, need to hear His name exalted and His name magnified. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Bible tells us that when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that there stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. We see here that a godly grandmother passed on her Christian values to her daughter. And then she passed them on to her boy, little Timmy. Now, this is not my mom and grandmother. Little Timmy. And little Timmy became a great man of God in the Bible, in the early church. What a tremendous pastor and influence, and what he had upon the early church. And it started out with a godly grandmother. And most influences, most people that does stuff good for God, that does great things, has got a grandparent somewhere that's prayed and has taught them. And boy, it's amazing, the stories. Have you ever heard the song? I believe it's in Mama's Rocking Chair or Grandma's Rocking Chair. Aaron Wilburn. And he talks about being in that rocking chair and being right in the middle when David fought Goliath. Being in the lion's den when Daniel was there. And told about all of the experiences that he had. And he said, I experienced it all through Mama's rocking chair. Boy, I tell you, that carries a lot of weight. They don't forget that. There's been a lot of little babies, little youngins has been exposed to Jesus in the bathtub when Grandma was washing them. They experience when they're mending their clothes. And experience, and boy, I tell you, when we have the opportunity to share with those little ones, we ought to take full advantage of it. We've had, and the third, and we're getting ready to spend a little more time with him, but we've had the last 7 years, we've had to be able to experience in the lives of two little girls. And boy, we saturated them. When they come to the house, they get it full, and over at Gigi's, they get it the full dose. We drag them to church every chance we get, and it's all... And I can thank God that two Bible schools, both of them by the age of five called on the name of Jesus, and I've baptized both of them. Thank God for that. Now, we buy them the cute little outfits, and we take them and spoil them, and we take them on vacations, and we take them to the beach, and anything that they want, if Uncle Tim has to go borrow it or buy it or loan, get a loan, he'd probably do it. But I'll be sure Jesus says they know. Rachel said at a young age, she said, I think you love Jesus more than you love us. And I said, well, you're true. That's true. But then she got a little older and started getting the grip of it, what it meant. And now she loves Jesus, and she calls it her love meter. And Jesus is at the top of her love meter. Amen. And there's, we've got to, every opportunity that we get. Now, I don't mean let's drive them away, but in a loving way, it's important, the influence that we have. We teach them to trust the same God that's in the Bible. The same God that delivered and brought Noah through the flood. The same God that brought Moses and Israel through the Red Sea. The same God that brought Daniel out of the lion's den. The same God. He is same today. And they need to know that he's just as real today as he was back then. See, I'm afraid that a lot of folks, and we've lost how powerful that he is. He's the same God that he's always been. When he was Moses was at the burning bush, and he said, I am that I am. There's no change in me. I always have been. I'm the same as I was. I'm the same today, and I'll be the same tomorrow. I am. What a statement. What a powerful statement. And we need to let them know that the old-time religion's good enough for them too. Now, there's a quote that a great friend of mine taught me years ago. Methods are many and principles are few. Methods may change, but principles never do. We might change the way we do some stuff, but we're still doing the same thing. Amen. And the old way, the old Bible way is the way to go, and they need to know it. They need to know about the finished work of Jesus Christ early. One of the first things they ought to know, boy, when, and I don't know, I'm not, I hope I don't come across that I'm a brag yet, no way, shape, or form. But when I'd get those little fellers in my arm, and I'd rock them in my recliner, I don't know what it was, just automatically I'd start singing Jesus Loves Me. I taught them Jesus Loves Me, the first song Uncle Tim ever taught them. This little light of mine and these things. See, they get enough influence about, they'll learn the other songs from other places. It's our job to teach them the good songs, the good old songs that'll get you through. See, young people and everyone, but we need to know our Bibles. We need to know how to pray. We need to know how to worship. We need to know how to love our enemies, to forgive folks. Need to know how to speak well of others. And I want to share something with you. Most of these things here that I just mentioned is learned by watching someone else. Most of them is learned by watching. I want to read four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty, eloquent of Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. The third man preferred Moffat because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. After giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar admitted, "I have personally preferred my mother's translation." When the other scholars chuckled, he responded, "Yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation I ever saw." Amen. That is living out a Christian life in front of our young folks. There's nothing takes place of a godly, spirit-filled life as an example to a young person. Amen. Second, his word was first. Second thing that I see in verse 5 is our word. "For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children." See, it's good that we teach children God's Word. It's good that they learn the Bible at a young age, and that they see that how God delivered these folks in out of the lion's den, out of the Hebrew children, and was with the early church and the miracles and the experiences of God and what He did in the Bible and how good it is in the Bible. What a great testimony and a great thing to do. But in this passage, I see that they need to hear our word. See, they need to hear experiences of what God's, how God's been faithful to us. What God's done in my life. What God's delivered me from. what God has delivered Mama from, what God delivered Papa from, what God's done in our life. And not only, and another thing is, our testimony shouldn't be 20 and 30 years ago. It ought to be pretty recent. Amen. And the testimonies that we can give is how faithful God is to us. Has God been faithful to you? Are we letting our children and grandchildren know? Are they seeing us living? Are they seeing us reading God's Word? Are they seeing us on our knees praying before God? Are they seeing us living a holy life and giving an experience of not just what someone else has done, but what God's doing in our lives? How old are your testimonies? I got acquainted with a guy a few weeks ago. He called me up and he said, I'm involved in a Bible study on Thursdays from 10 to 12. And he said, I just feel like the Lord's wanting me to invite you and get you to come and be part of this. And I don't know what he was saying. After I got there, I found out the youngest in that Bible study was 72. I must look a lot older than I am. But we got in, there was 10 guys gathered around. They'd been doing it for 5 or 10 years, I can't remember. The guys leading the Bible study, man, I liked the way he started out. The first thing that he asked, who wants to tell what God's done in their life this week? What's God doing in your life? What's He done? Then a few got to tell what some things God's doing. See, that's a thought-provoking and something to think. And I want to ask you, what's God doing in your life? Or is your relationship still real with Him? Are we relying on testimonies of a few years ago? What's He doing today? What's He speaking to you today? What did He speak to you yesterday? What's He going to do tomorrow? Is God real? Or do we just acknowledge Him and read the Bible and come to church? Or is He real in our lives? See, God's real. I like a real relationship with Him. If it was just worship and something, I'd just set me up an idol. Amen. It's real that He speaks to me. He speaks through the Word, and He touches and moves in my life, and He's concerned about what I do from day to day. Where are we today? When's the last time that you've heard from God? When's the last time that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that He was in control of a situation? Amen? You might say, preacher, this is not the grandparents' message we thought we was going to hear. You just take that up with the Lord. He'll get me. And the third thing I see in this is God's will. See, He said here in verse 5, He established a testimony. Down at the last of that verse, that they should make them known to their children. It's God's will for children to be taught to live within the boundaries of God's Word. It's His will that they know the books of the Bible. That they know the Bible. They know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They know who Jesus is. They know who Moses is. They know the boundaries. That they know the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments is a great place for boundaries. Boy, that's tremendous. And that we know. See, children's not been taught. And a lot of our folks now that's got up in the teens and in 20s and 30s in their life, and maybe even older, that has put the rules of God aside, and they don't know what it means to thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Children need to continue to be taught that when you talk about adultery, that covers all of the sexual activities. And then that we're taught, and then we see that adultery's one of them. Fornication, premarital, extramarital, homosexuality. See, and I would probably be labeled as a homophobic. It's not that I'm against any certain group, but it's that we still need to be taught God's Word. Just because it's not popular, just because it's not politically correct, that don't mean it's gone away. That He's still the same God. He's still the same one that wrote it, and He still expects the same thing. The importance of teaching. See, it's the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. See, I'm afraid we think it's the Ten Suggestions. Well, it might work for you, preacher. What's right for you is not right for me. There's where we are today. It's still God's Word. And it'll never change. The Bible said, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. What a foundation. Not only that, it's His will. God's will that we follow His will in everything we do. And I know I've shared, and the Lord laid it on me again, but as I was studying to speak to those young people a few weeks ago, God spoke to me in a way on my heart, touched my heart, and He said, the reason we have so many unhappy families, we have so many unhappy folks, we have so many divorces, is because at a young age, young people didn't start following my will. They chose the wrong school. They chose to date the wrong people. They chose to date to go to the wrong college. They chose decisions. They married the wrong person. That God, not who God had designed for him to marry. Amen? It's important that young people is taught to follow God's will. We've seen the conviction of passing it forward. Now I want to look at the consequences of passing it forward. There's a consequence to it. You might say, wow. Look at verse 7. I'll be brief in this, but I want you to see the consequence of passing God's Word, passing your experiences, and doing things, passing it on brings. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's a pretty good consequence, isn't it? Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Set their hope in God. Very likely to happen is that they'll trust Him and call upon Him as Savior of their soul and depend upon Him, totally depend upon God and lead others to Him. Wow. What a consequence. That's one I like for fall on my family. How about you? The second one is not forget the works of God. To not forget His acts in the Old Testament, but also His acts of redemption, salvation, and grace, justification. But one thing that I think that we really need to teach our children about God's will is that He is administering His government and rule over our lives. He is still on the throne. He is God. He is interested in everything we do and is at work in our lives, day in and day out, daily living. If you tell most people that, they'll look at you like you've grown another head. Amen? He is still in control. And the third one is to keep His commandments. to live godly lives that glorify God, to know right from wrong, and understand why there's boundaries. Understand why the Bible says don't do this and don't do that, and do this. I want to close with telling you about my grandma's story. That was my mama's mama. And I know her. I think I was in the third grade when she went to be with the Lord. And I remember I'd go spend weekends with her occasionally in the summer, a few days. And don't remember a whole lot about her, but I remember that I never heard one unkind word out of her mouth. I never heard her say anything negative about anybody. And she was the kindest person that I could ever remember being around. And she was a godly lady. That's all I remember about her. I don't remember, never, no gossip. I never remember anything hateful. I never remember saying nothing about the neighbors. Kind, wholesome, good, loving. That's all I remember about her. Wow. How many people can we say that about? Not a great deal. How's your grandparents going to remember you? I mean your grandkids. And that's one of the biggest things with these little great nine. They're the closest thing I'll ever have to a grandkid. And the thing about, and I've told Rhonda, when I leave this life, I hope that their memory of me is that he was a godly man and lived what he taught and preached. I hope I can leave that testimony behind. Amen. And this morning, as we close, I want to, if we need to come this morning and pray, see, I don't think I can express the importance of raising children in God's way. Getting them in the house of the Lord. Anytime they're in our presence, having a positive influence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we so thankful today for you. I'm so thankful.